The second caliph of Islam, Umar ibn al-Khattab, radiyallahu anhu. Umar ibn al-Khattab, radiyallahu anhu.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على خاتم النبيين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Dear viewers, welcome once again in our new episode of our program, The Second Caliph of Islam, Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab, radiyallahu anhu. Inshallah Zawajal, in today's episode, we'll continue our discussion regarding the scholarly brilliance of Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab, radiyallahu anhu, and cover more aspects of his blessed seerah from the perspective of his scholarly brilliance. We've been covering his personality from the perspective of his scholarly brilliance from past couple of episodes, and today we will continue this very topic, as this is such a vast topic that when we start talking about the branches of knowledge in which Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu had expertise in, there are so many, there are several branches of knowledge that he radiallahu anhu had mastered, and why wouldn't it be the case when he radiallahu anhu acquired knowledge directly from the source of knowledge, from the fountain of knowledge, from our master, our savior, our intercessor, the final messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Faruq-e-Azam radiallahu anhu, his excellences, his virtues are unmatched, are second to none, are numerous, especially because of the closeness he had in the court of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, and the rank he acquired due to the special gaze of mercy that befell upon him of the Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So inshallah today we'll cover more aspects of his seerah from the scholarly perspective and see what a great scholar he was, what great expertise he possessed, and how greatly he had mastered other branches of knowledge, and how he was looked upon by other elite contemporary companions of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam of his time. But before we delve into today's topic of discussion, let's first of all listen to a virtue of sending peace and salutation upon the noble Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. In one hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam stated that, O people, indeed the one who will gain salvation quickly from the terrors and accountability of the Day of Judgment will be the one who sent abundantly salat upon me in the world. Allahu Akbar. Dear viewers, in this narration, in this hadith, we've been told of a way of attaining quick salvation from the terrors and accountability of the Day of Judgment, the day that will be full of terror, that will be full of horror on that very day. The Prophet ﷺ has mentioned that who will attain salvation quickly from these adversities, from these terrors and horrors of the Day of Judgment. Who would it be? The one who would have sent salat upon the Prophet ﷺ abundantly. So let us also try to be amongst those fortunate people who would have recited salat upon the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam abundantly in this world, so that we can also be amongst those fortunate people who would attain salvation quickly from the horrors and accountability of the Day of Judgment, and be amongst those who attain success in the hereafter. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So dear viewers, we're talking about Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu and his scholarly brilliance. Many times, dear viewers, this also happened that certain rulings which had been given to us by Sharia, they were revealed to us, they were given to the Ummah through a certain companion. And this again in its own shows another form of greatness of that very companion. And when we talk about the second caliph of Islam, Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu, then we find that there were many, many rulings of Sharia, many commandments of Sharia that were implemented and that were revealed to us, to the Ummah, through Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu. This is also one of his distinctions, one of his greatness. And Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anh, he had this practice of questioning the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam over different matters in order to acquire knowledge. And then when the time of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anh, the first Caliph of Islam, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anh came, the same practice continued from Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anh, that he would question him as well, and he would help him duly in the matters of Sharia, in the rulings of Sharia, whatever it may be, he radiallahu anh would help and support him duly. Now, Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anh, he acquired knowledge directly from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, and then he imparted that knowledge on to the Ummah in the best of the manners during his caliphate, during his era of caliphate. And the most elite companions, the most prominent companions alayhi muridwan, the most illustrious companions alayhi muridwan, even they would consider Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anh as the greatest of the faqih, as the greatest of the scholars. Thus, Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anh, he states that undoubtedly Amir al-Mu'mineen Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anh is the biggest faqih, is the greatest faqih of deen, of religion amongst all of us. SubhanAllah. And we covered regarding faqih as well, that who is a faqih. Faqih is a very, very big scholar. Once someone becomes a scholar, then there are different ranks even amongst the scholars. There's a rank of Muftiyan-e-Karam, there's a rank of Fuqaha-e-Karam, so on and so forth. So the more you excel, the higher ranks you attain. So even within the field of scholarship, within the field of becoming scholar, there are different ranks that scholars, ulama, they normally they strive to acquire. And this would obviously be after spending more time in studies, acquiring more knowledge, acting upon it, and then eventually attaining that very rank. So Sayyidina Farooq Azam radiallahu anh, according to Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anh, was the greatest faqih of the religion amongst all the people. Sayyidina Safwan bin Sulaym rahmatullah alayhi states that during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, there were only four people who would issue a fatwa, who would give an Islamic verdict. There was another narration that we covered previously in our previous episodes where only two individuals were mentioned. But in this narration, narrated by Safwan bin Sulaym rahmatullah alayhi, it is stated that there were only four individuals, four people during the time of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, who would give fatwa. Amir al-Mu'mineen Sayyidina Umar Farooq Azam radiallahu anh, Amir al-Mu'mineen Sayyidina Ali al-Murtaza karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem, Sayyidina Mu'adh bin Jabal, and Sayyidina Abu Musa Ash'ari radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in. So these were the four companions who would give fatwa during the time of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And Amir al-Mu'mineen Sayyidina Farooq Azam radiallahu anh is also amongst those four companions. Now dear viewers, there were six such Sahaba who were known as the Imam of Fiqh. Amongst all the Sahaba, there were six such who had this rank, who held this position, this designation, where they were known as the Imam of Fiqh by other people. And other people, they would revert to them, they would come in their court in order to resolve their matters, in order to have answers to their queries. Now, when we talk about all these six Sahaba Ikram Alim Ridwan who were the Imams of Fiqh, now the rulings that they would derive, they would also be like one another's. Their rulings would also resemble one another's rulings. Now, the illustrious Muhaddith, Imam Sha'bi Rahimahullah, he states that there were six such Sahaba Alim Ridwan from whom people would ask, they would acquire knowledge from them. Then he continues to say that amongst them, Amir al-Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Farooq Azam radiallahu anh, Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anh, and Sayyidina Zayd bin Thabit radiallahu anh, these three companions. Now their rulings would resemble the rulings of each other. Their rulings would be like the rulings of each other, and they would also consult each other over several rulings. Then he continues to say that Amir al-Mu'mineen, the Lion of Allah, Sayyidina Ali al-Murtaza karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem, Sayyidina Abu Musa Ash'ari and Sayyidina Ubay bin Ka'b radiallahu anhum. These three companions were those imams of fiqh whose rulings would resemble each other's. Their rulings would be like each other's, and they would also consult each other over different rulings, over their different derived rulings. So these six companions, three mentioned earlier, Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, and Zaid bin Thabit radiallahu anhu. These three imams of fiqh, these three sahaba who were imams of fiqh, their rulings would be like each other's, and they would consult each other over their rulings. And then we have the lion of Allah, Amir al-Mu'mineen, Ali al-Murtaza karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem, Sayyidina Abu Musa Ash'ari radiallahu anhu, and Sayyidina Ubay ibn Ka'ab radiallahu anhu. These three companions, on the other hand, their rulings would resemble each other's rulings, and they would consult each other when it would come to talk about their derived rulings. When we go through these narrations, when we study that there were six sahaba who were the imams of fiqh, people would refer to them to have their issues resolved. So may a misconception, a confusion not get created in our minds that there were thousands of sahaba. There were thousands of sahaba in total. But how is it possible that only four or six sahaba would tell people the rulings, or they would give answers to their fiqhi questions? What we need to understand is all these sahaba, they are source of guidance, the fountain of guidance. However, these sahaba whose names we've just taken, they are mujtahid and faqih sahaba. They are those sahaba who acquired knowledge from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam themselves, and they were able to perform independent reasoning, ijtihad, themselves from Quran and Sunnah. This is what their speciality was. Whereas the other sahaba, they were their students. They learned from them, and they were also a means of guidance, source of guidance for the entire ummah. They also preached to the ummah. However, these companions, they were mujtahid and faqih companions themselves. They were able to deduce rulings themselves because of the teachings they had from the court of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. And other companions, other sahaba, they were their students. So after acquiring knowledge from them, after understanding religion from them, after having a deep insight of religion through them, then they went to different parts of the world and they propagated deen, they taught people deen, they guided them to the right path, and they became the imam of the ummah. So this is very, very important for us to realize, for us to understand, and to ensure that we do not get confused over here. Now, dear viewers, when you talk about the imams of fiqh, very greatly prominent elite companions who are known as the imams of fiqh, when we look into their seerah, we come to know that even they were the students of Sayyidina Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu. It was the faizan of Sayyidina Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu that was spreading throughout the world when we see those imams of fiqh guiding the ummah to the right path. Now, when we look back in the history, then we come to know that Makkah al-Mukarrama, Madinah al-Munawwara, Basra, Kufa, Sham, these places were the centers of fiqh. In Makkah al-Mukarrama, it was Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. In Madinah al-Munawwara, it was Sayyidina Zayd bin Thabit and Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhum. In Kufa, it was Amir al-Mu'mineen, the Lion of Allah, Sayyidina Ali al-Murtaza karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem, Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, and Sayyidina Abu Musa Ash'ari radiallahu anhu. In Sham, it was Sayyidina Abu Darda radiallahu anhu and Sayyidina Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu anhu, through whose blessings people were benefiting, who were spreading the light of knowledge to everyone. Now, out of all these personalities, except Amir al-Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Ali al-Murtaza karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem, all the other companions whose names we've taken, they were nurtured, they were brought up, they were taught by none other than Sayyidina Umar Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu. They all were the students of Sayyidina Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu. So dear viewers, we can see over here that all these elite companions who themselves were pillars of knowledge, who themselves were pillar of guidance, who themselves were appointed in different parts of the world where they were spreading the light of knowledge, whom were referred to when people needed any sort of guidance, who themselves were Imam of Fiqh. They all, except Sayyidina Ali al-Murtaza, karram Allahu ta'ala wajhahu al-Kareem, they all were the students of Amir al-Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiyallahu anhu. So what would be the level of knowledge and intellect of Umar bin Khattab radiyallahu anhu himself? This is very, very clear and obvious for us from this very narration. When we talk about the students of Faruqi Azam radiyallahu anhu further, then we come to know that Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhu, Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, and Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhu, they were special students of Sayyidina Faruqi Azam radiyallahu anhu. This is why Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu would say that for me, sitting in the company of Amir al-Mu'mineen Sayyidina Faruqi Azam radiyallahu anhu is better, is more beneficial than performing pious deeds for 1 year. This is what Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, he would say. And because Muslims had conquered a lot of land during the time of Sayyidina Faruqi Azam radiyallahu anhu, that is why there was a great need for Islamic rulings to be spread across all the lands. And at that very moment of time, this was also another very challenging task, because you can imagine that new areas are being conquered, victories are being gained overall. Now, the issues that people would face in different parts of the world would also be of different nature. Now, in the midst of all this, to resolve their queries in the light of Quran and Sunnah would also require a great scholarly brilliance and expertise for anyone to do so. And Sayyidina Umar Faruq radiyallahu anhu, he was the one who faced most issues of this nature as well. Now, not only was he a leader of believers, but he was also an elite scholar of this ummah. He was someone who had produced many scholars who went on to become the Imam of Fiqh of this ummah. So when there were a lot of land was conquered during the time of Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiyallahu anhu, and many new issues they needed to be resolved in the light of Quran and Sunnah, then Sayyidina Faruq Azam radiyallahu anhu, he resolved those issues in the light of Quran and Sunnah whilst performing independent reasoning, whilst performing ijtihad. And it was him, only him, who could have done so because of his insight into Quran and Sunnah. And when we look at the books of history, we come to know that there are thousands of such issues which were resolved in the light of Quran and Sunnah. Fiqhi rulings which he radiyallahu anhu, he resolved, they are in thousands. They are several in number. Now, Shah Waliullah Muhaddis Adelwi rahimahullah, he states that the rulings of fiqh of mujtahideen that are in accordance with the creed of Umar bin Khattab radiyallahu anhu, they are approximately 1,000. And this in its own shows that how greatly the opinion of Sayyidina Faruqi Azam radiyallahu anhu is followed by even mujtahideen. Who is a mujtahid? The one who can perform independent reasoning, someone who can deduce rulings of certain issues from the Quran and Sunnah himself. So the mujtahideen, even the fiqhi rulings that they have derived following the opinion of Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiyallahu anhu, those rulings, their number goes into thousands. So dear viewers of Madani Channel, today we've tried to cover another perspective of the scholarly brilliance of the second caliph of Islam, Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiyallahu anhu, where we come to know that he radiyallahu anhu was also a remarkable teacher, as those sahaba who were known as the Imam of Fiqh in history, we come to know that they were the students of Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiyallahu anhu. One excellence and trait of Umar bin Khattab radiyallahu anhu is also that he would question the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam when he would be in his court. And this was, of course, to acquire knowledge. And after becoming the caliph himself, he imparted that knowledge duly to the ummah. And he gave this ummah the imams of fiqh, the sahaba who themselves were pillars of guidance, the sahaba to whom the ummah would refer to if they would need any issue to be resolved. And those sahaba, when some of them, they went to Sham, some of them, they went to Kufa, some of them, they went to Basra, some of them, they were in Madinatul Munawwara, some of them, they were in Makkatul Mukarrama. When, and each of them, in every part of this land. They were the pillar of Islam over there. They were the pillar of guidance over there. And you cannot become pillar without having expertise, great in-depth expertise in the field of knowledge. And all these personalities whom we talked about, they were students of Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu, except Mawla Ali karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem, who himself is Babul Ilm, who himself possesses such knowledge which renders the intellects of everyone's perplexed. So all other companions that we spoke about, they were students of Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu, which shows the greatness of Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu from the scholarly side of things as well. So just to conclude on this subject, we come to know that when Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu, his personality is discussed, and when this subheading within his personality, which is his scholarly brilliance, is discussed, we can keep talking and talking and talking about his unmatched knowledge, but we can never do justice with the amount of knowledge he possessed, the expertise in the branches of knowledge that he possessed. Very little can be mentioned regarding what he gave to this ummah, but we are highly indebted to Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu and the great shiny beacons of guidance that he gave to this ummah. We cannot repay Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu for the favors that he has done upon this ummah. We pray to Allah Almighty that may Allah Almighty shower his countless blessings and mercies upon Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu, and may Allah Almighty forgive us all without accountability for his sake. Ameen. Bijahi khatam al-nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
The second caliph of Islam, Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu.